All right. We are back in session, Board of Education meeting, August 12, 2014. We called the meeting to order at 6:30 and closed at 7. Open session at 7 o'clock. Mr. Flowers, will you lead us in an invocation?
Oh, gracious and heavenly Father, we come first and foremost, Lord God. Just praise and thank you, Lord God. Lord God, just for who you are. Lord God, we just praise and thank you, Lord God, for another year in the school district, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, that you continue to have your way in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Use us all for thy glory, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord, to keep your angels encamped around our kids in this district, Lord God. Lord God, lead them and guide them. And we love you and praise you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Pollitt?
Here.
Ms. Hammond?
Here.
Ms. Flowers?
Here.
Ms. Schumacher?
Here.
Here.
There was no action taken in closed session. I have nothing to report. Board of Education report. Anybody?
I do.
Not all that. Really?
Yeah, there's just four things and they're quick.
Fine, go ahead.
Okay. No. I wanted to first commend the staff. The district office looks...
I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you?
The district office looks great, the painting. I've heard from the public. It looks fabulous, and I love that you all did two-tone. Number two, I'm sorry that I wasn't at the welcome back, but I heard excellent feedback from the teachers and from staff about the speaker and that they felt very invigorated and motivated with the new school year. Number three, I just wanted to update you on what's going with the East San Gabriel Valley ROP. Number one, we're considering a new computer system that would effectively track students from the time that they inquire and are interested in the program until they graduate. Currently, the system we have requires a lot of people, a lot of manpower, a lot of manual. This may we're looking at costing a significant amount of money. At this point, there's no cost we want to associate to the districts. I just want to make you aware so that we can be more effective in accommodating our students, both students that are currently in our schools and, of course, students that have matriculated. The last thing is that we've been having difficulty with the State Department of Education over the last, year, I want to say. The federal government is, obviously pays the Perkins and the student loans, and we are a board. We're one of three boards in the state of California where the board has direct oversight. It's unlike other ROPs in the state. And so the Department of Ed needs to get a letter that effectively says that to the federal government so we could get our funding, and that has been tying us up. So I just want to make you aware, again, none of this will financially affect our districts, but that's what's going on in ROP.
They still get the pass-through from our districts.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But we are working with lawyers. We are working with the federal government. The federal government has given the state 1 year to resolve this. So it's required the work of legislators and us making phone calls. And I just wanted to make you all aware. And then the last thing is with Hearst Ranch, I want to say Sunday was an excellent event. It was very well attended. We had about 200 people, 180 to 200 people. And I'm hoping that next year the board can attend, because I'm really happy to say that we're looking, Hearst Ranch, we the board are looking at expanding our Garden Gourmet program. The board is looking at funding one more classroom aside from what Kaiser's already doing. So hopefully next year we can be supportive and come out and do their membership barbecue. But it was excellent. The food was really good. The entertainment was fun. But yeah, at this point, we're looking at the board is looking at expanding it to four classrooms. Right now, we currently have two with Kaiser. So, and Hearst Ranch is looking at taking on the costs. So that's it. I just want to give you those quick updates of what's going on with some of the boards I'm sitting on. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Steve.
Nice Flowers, go ahead.
I also like to thank Colleen for bringing John the other day at the opening. What a awesome time we had. Thank you and the superintendent for allowing him to come. And we also had the our illustrious school board president give us such a magnificent speech that night. Also, thank to him. Mm. Also, we truly enjoyed you. Mm. Also, Also, something that I attended while we was away, I went to a community service day where they had like the Rotary Club, the Lions Club, and someone invited me just to attend, so I did. And I would like to come to the board. I would love to be a liaison for the school board to be involved with that community service day. October the 4th, they're having a big kickoff, community service kickoff day. And I know they got another meeting in September sometime, getting ready for the Special Olympics. So I would love to be a part of that. I'd like the board to just be okay with the board if I'd be a part.
So just a little backup on that. Mr. Flowers attended the community service. That's a city community. All the different volunteer services go to this meeting. And I got an email from
Chris Freeland.
To say he's more than welcome, but they would like to know, because like with the liaison, if we have more than one, you know, it becomes a Brown Act. And so my recommendation is, I know we appoint different board members to attend different meetings, and if that's the board would like Mr. Flowers to attend, that we just agree to that, so I can let Mr. Freeland know that he will be there at every meeting.
Do we? I'm sorry, I missed the date. Do we have another board meeting so we can?
We can officially. I mean, right now you can give kind of your permission, and I can put it on the agenda as another board. But I think the best way to do it is to make it an appointment to that committee, for the city committee. That would be my recommendation.
Okay.
17th, the next meeting.
And then it would be part of our reorganization.
Oh, so you have plenty of time.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. In the next
okay,
meeting.
So Monica, would you put that on for the agenda next time? Okay.
And just one more thing. I attended Roger Hernandez community. We all got a letter from Roger Hernandez to go to the community health fair, and it was awesome. I mean, it was packed. It was in Azusa. It was truly packed. They had every booth was full with people getting health information. I look forward to them coming to West Covina that we can all attend with when he say he will come this way. So that was it. But I enjoy Steve.
Let me just say one thing.
Go ahead.
At the kickoff, what I really appreciated the keynote talking about is for students to learn, they have to feel safe. And I think at this point in my life, that was the thing that hit the most for the students that I, my special students that I have, that's what they really need. And for him to bring that up, and then the way he presented it, everyone kind of went, and they knew exactly what it felt like to be pointed out or to be worried about maybe being the next victim of being pointed out. I just thought it was excellent, and I think it resonated throughout. And I think that a teacher's going to be much more cognizant about children feeling safe, and how when they feel unsafe, he said 20 minutes to recover, at least. So we don't want to lose all of that educational time, and I just appreciate the way he did it, and he did everything with humor. So he was awesome.
25 minutes to recover after that.
He will be coming back, you say, right?
Yes, when's he coming back?
I think his first date back is September 8th, and then he comes back four more times. He comes back four times for general population and one special day for special.
Thank you, Colleen. He was awesome.
Can you email us those dates? Because I do want to see him.
Are we invited?
Him. Thank you. Yes, are we?
Always invited.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hawkins.
And we won't even give you the test at the end of the...
Oh, even better.
I don't have to worry about stress then.
No stress.
I feel safe already.
Okay, good.
All right. And next item is items from... the public. I have no receipts. Nobody wants to speak to us today. So we'll go on to the business session with the organizational approval of the agenda and consent items. Does anybody want to add anything to consent?
I think we have 14 through 19.
Right, I was just what I was going to say. 14 through 19.
14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19.
Wait, I'm sorry. You were asking to put all that on consent?
All right. Go ahead.
I want to make sure. There are a couple of things I wanted to talk to. And it was none of those.
All right. Is there a motion for this item, please?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Moved by Jessica Shoemaker, seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez. to approve the agenda and consent items with the addition of items number 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 to the to consent. Any objections? Hearing none, motion is so ordered. That then takes us to item number 5 regarding...
I wrote over.
Yeah.
My fault, I wrote over.
She thought we were on 4, but it's on consent.
Gosh.
Sorry.
I have 2 questions on this item.
Go ahead.
The first is on 5D.
Yes.
And
is that B or E?
D.
D, okay. Thank you.
Number 4 says, under the composition of school site councils, parent, guardian, representatives who may include parents of students attending the school and or community members. When you go down to the next paragraph, the second sentence says, for elementary school site councils, the remaining half shall be parent, guardian, representatives or students. And so...
it should say of students.
But that contradicts what's above, which says it could be community members.
I believe it's inclusive of the representative, but we can add that piece.
Well, just because it specifically says parent, guardian.
Yeah, we can add that piece.
And it's the same for the line below it. So even if it just said parent slash guardian slash community members.
So it's consistent.
Yeah,
that.
Mm-hmm. And that it's clear. So we...
This?
Yeah. I was under the impression that before was the definition of parent guardian representative.
No, because it says and or community members.
Mm-hmm. It's both.
So you don't have to be.
You don't have to be a parent.
You can be a community member.
Right.
So warning, you can get Shoemaker grandchild. Okay.
I'm sorry, Ms. Schumacher, you said the paragraph right below it?
Oh, sorry. 2 down from 4. So it's 4, 5, and then the paragraph after 5.
Okay.
And so it's the second and third sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. And then my next one was on 5H, and there's a listing of guidelines. And
mm-hmm.
guideline number 3, I personally have a problem with, and I don't know what the other board members may feel. It says the teacher may express a personal opinion provided he, she identifies it as a personal opinion and clarifies that he, she is not speaking on behalf of the school or district. The teacher shall not express an opinion for the purpose of persuading students to his or her point of view. It is my opinion that a teacher in and of its position has a persuading effect, even if it is a personal opinion. And so I'm not sure that I would like that guideline to be in there.
Let me just, I'll start this now and turn over to Colleen. Cammie called us today with the same question, and we've spent a lot of time today researching it and talking to our attorney, and I think we have a recommendation, but I'm going to let Colleen talk about it because she did the research.
The whole recommendation there, that with this particular board policy, it's a change from the AR, so it's incorporating that. So when you look at the old AR, that's really the spirit of number 6 that goes with CSBA. So there was a lot of conversation and research done today on the balance between a teacher's freedom of speech in the classroom and freedom of decision, educational freedom, and decision to make that. So in our research and talking with our attorneys, we were hesitant to take it out completely or to put it in a more prohibitive manner. So based on the research, because it can go either way depending on the subject, they provided us with another statement, a replacement statement for 3. So I'd like to share that with the board.
It's very muddy water. The courts can go all direction depending on what the conversation is. So this seems to clarify a little bit. Is there enough for me to have one? Please?
Yes, I think there should be 7.
So did you want one? We need one. Oh, there it is. I was going to keep yours.
Is that okay?
From Monica, too.
That's instead of what it already says.
Mm-hmm. So we would replace 3 with this.
I didn't know.
Go ahead. Are you finished, or did
Jessica,
you have others? Or,
yeah.
The new language would say, just for the record, since it's not published, the teacher's role in such a discussion shall be to facilitate the exchange of ideas between students, and the teacher shall not interject his or her personal opinions into the discussion or attempt to persuade students to his or her point of view. I'm fine with that change of language.
And I appreciate you doing that so quickly, because I didn't call until today. So, and I think this is perfect. So thank you for
well,
doing
our
that.
Our attorneys have it's a very difficult question. It's not a yes or no answer.
Right.
So we felt that this kind of took care of what we wanted to say in the right in the spirit of what we wanted to say.
Well, and as I had said, what the attorneys had told us at CSBA was where it was a touchy situation, and we need to be very careful about the language. So I appreciate you calling our attorney, and this answers my question. But I do have some others if just or
those were the only two I have.
Okay. On 5A, at the bottom, we've moved the board shall approve down to the bottom paragraph on 5A. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like we're going to be approving not just the SPC SAs. We're also going to certify that to the extent allowable under federal law, the SPCA is consistent with district and local provisions. And I was asking Ms. Kaplan if we were going to be doing this at the same time, because I would like to see them together. She thought it would be best to talk about it as a board, so we were all we all had the opportunity to discuss it. She also said it might be a good time to do it along with the LCAP to make sure everything was in a line. So I just wanted to bring those things up. I don't know if we have to address it the LCAP here, but I would like to make sure that those things are done at the same time, or if this is going to be our responsibility when it's going to be done.
First of all, I'll say my part, and then I'll ask Colleen to say her part. What we're asking our schools to do right now is when they develop their SIPSA, that they're also incorporating it into the strategic plan of the LCAP. And the LCAP piece is a lot of the intervention for these same groups. So our goal is, until the federal government and the state government come together on this, that's we want one document, that we don't have 3 different documents that state everything. So that is going to happen in the development of it. Why don't you talk about the review of it?
Okay. So all of the SIPSAs, the SPSA that you referenced, they come to the district office, and my staff reviews all of them to make sure that they're in compliance with all state and federal law and requirements for No Child Left Behind or the ESEA legislation, as well as aligned to the strategic plan, the goals set forward by that, and now going forward the LCAP. This language that's here at the bottom is straight out of Ed Code, out of the 64-01-100 mm-hmm. piece. And we've always been approving it that way, but it wasn't in our board policy. So when you're certifying it, you're doing it upon the recommendation and review of staff that it meets all of those. In addition, the template that we use for the SIPSA is aligned to those federal and state guidelines and given to us from CDE and from the county. So already the criteria that we have to use for that are aligned. So what you're doing, we do all of that approval, and when we recommend it to you and the transmittal that is given to you indicates that. Not to this specificity, which it can be in the future if you'd like, but it does go through that process before we give it to you.
And so we would be approving both at the same time?
Correct.
By approving the LCAP, because we've approved that.
Right.
But it will be, the LCAP will be indicative or aligned in each
All three program. Are going to
by,
be.
By approving the plans, you are certifying. It isn't necessarily a separate process.
So it's not two different processes.
Correct.
We'll always be doing that. And will it be written that way in the?
I will in the future.
Okay.
Write the transmittal to show that we're doing all of those things and outline it a little bit more specifically to include the LCAP. In the past, it has not been outlined quite that way.
Right.
I looked at the transmittal. It alludes to it, but it will be much more specific to this in the future.
Well, since it's a directive for us, I just want to make sure that I know what steps we're doing to ensure that. On 5H, that was Jessica answered my. I asked that question. I just want to make sure. I also on the second paragraph there. I'm just going to read the whole paragraph. The board expects administrators and teachers to exercise caution and discretion when deciding whether or not a particular issue is suitable for study or discussion in a particular class. And now what's been crossed out is teachers should not spend class time on any topic which they feel is not suitable for the class or related to the established course of study. I'm not sure why that's out.
That particular piece was taken out because it seems to, by saying that the teacher should not spend class time on any topic they feel is not suitable, it gives a more broad brush approach. Even though it's dealing with controversial issues, it basically is saying that the teacher can decide which items completely they want to use in the classroom. And so because we're talking about the controversial issues, the sentence before combined with the sentence following that strikeout seemed to be more
Would you read the sentence?
What we would expect as a district and for teachers and administrators to do with controversial issues.
Why don't you read
just 1 second. What I had circled was caution and discretion, which doesn't seem as strong as that other line. So, and I heard Mr. Cox say that maybe we, and I, pardon, Colleen, I believe that you were saying that we want to make sure that our content is still being taught. I mean, I believe that's what I'm hearing.
Correct.
That
was the interpretation of that particular sentence, that would give the discretion to remove completely.
I think you have to read that last sentence.
So the last sentence says, they shall consult with the superintendent or designee as necessary to determine the appropriateness of the subject matter, guest speakers, and or related instructional materials. So really it's that last sentence that solidifies if those topics go forward.
And when, if it's at the caution and discretion, the teacher may not think it's controversial. So who determines if what's being presented is controversial?
Typically controversial issues are issues already not included in the curriculum, so current events. Right now we're having issues with particular immigration laws and things like that in the news. So that specific to what's happening currently is not in the curriculum. Immigration as a movement and how the country was developed is in the news. So if I'm going to bring in something like that, I would have to run it through the principal and have those conversations.
Okay. And are the teachers aware that it's, I mean...
Well, this is new a little bit, so they're not aware yet.
Can I just interject really quickly? Sure. I read this a little bit differently in that before it says teachers should not spend class time on any topic which they feel is not suitable. I think the language now sort of swings the pendulum also the other way, where because they may not like a topic, that could influence them finding something not suitable, whereas this is saying, you know, sort of look at it both ways. Just because you don't like it does not mean it's not suitable, and you have to use caution and discretion in determining. If you may not like teaching a subject, it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be taught. And so I think it balances the paragraph out both ways.
And then on, and so I'm fine with that. I just wanted
discussion.
Some feedback on that. And then on 5I, I'm wondering why on the second
well, after bullet eight, that first paragraph,
mm-hmm.
why without promoting any partisan point of view, the teacher should help students separate fact from opinion and warn them against drawing conclusions from insignificant data. But now, with our new, the new thing that the attorney sent us, I think that covers that.
I looked at this because of your question as well, and it's very difficult where we have very different language from what was original to try and amalgamate the two together to make a common cohesive piece. This really, this little section really spoke to number six and four, and the last sentence of the paragraph that follows it also covers what all of that says.
Well, and I think now with what the attorney yeah. wrote, that really covers that particular piece. And then I just wanted to make sure on the second to the last paragraph on 5E, it says consent shall be obtained. Right. So it's in, sorry, 5I, that it should be we're still doing an opt-in, not an opt-out.
Correct. No consent, no participation.
Okay.
No comment of any kind, no form sent back, then still no participation.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was...
That's what that means.
Because that was important when to the board at the time we put it in.
Yeah.
And then we're taking all of the AR out,
mm-hmm.
and 10 of the AR. I'm just wondering why that's completely out now, because we're not going to have an AR anymore.
10 of the AR was not part of the CSBA revisions that we made. And in looking at it, this particular piece seemed to deal more with the interaction of things that have other board policies surrounding them, like child abuse, sexual harassment, through all the rules outlining those particular pieces. And so we didn't feel that piece was fitting with all of these in the pieces that were outlined specifically.
We had a parent come in, and she was concerned about a book we were reading, and that she was one of the concerns that was brought up during that whole discussion is things that make, because there were some controversial things that were happening in the book that the mother was concerned about, and then we had a whole discussion about what happens if a child has, a student has experienced some of these things. What do we do? And that was all surrounding about that kind of material. So I'm not sure why this would be left out under those circumstances.
I'm very familiar with the situation that you're describing and those particular kinds of guidelines and criteria. The way this is outlined in the procedures is in my opinion, was it intended to be part of more the curricular discussion and how we train teachers to use those materials in a broader fashion. It can easily go back in if it's something that you want to...
Well, just because the mother was so concerned about the controversial issues and how that may affect mm-hmm. individual students and that come from different backgrounds, that if we had this in there, then we could make sure that these procedures were in place since we're not going to have an AR. If we were going to have an AR, it could remain in the AR.
I'm wondering if we should broaden it, though, not to just what's in number 10, because if we're talking about immigration, that could mm-hmm. also be something that a student is,
yes.
you know. So I'm wondering if it really just is that take out the topics, but how we mm-hmm. want teachers to deal with students who have issues with some of the...
Why don't we just say the procedures when dealing with sensitive issues,
right.
and just
and delete then, those things
because it's right. all sensitive issues, and depending on who the listener is, the sensitive issue could be different.
Right, and then they'll just know what we can do.
As we're talking about sensitive issues, if some challenge comes up for the children, that there are things that we should do. Is that how you would want it to be phrased?
Right. So you said contact a nurse or counselor, psychologist. Is what we had those discussions during that when the parent came forward with her concerns.
So we can take the topics out
mm-hmm.
and just leave that as far as controversial issues, and then leave the process. So we'll include that back.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with it being in there, but I also would say that with our opt-in procedure and things like that, that I'm not necessarily sure that we need this, because we have our other procedures and policies in place that handle sensitive issues, and then a parent is also opting in to, you know, the book that may have a controversial topic. And so, I mean, I'm fine with it being put in, but I'm not sure that it's necessary with all of our other procedures and ARs and opting in versus, you know.
My personal concern during that meeting was that, as you know, I'm a foster parent, and I have children coming into my home, and I don't know what their triggers are. I'm not always sure of their history. And I might look at the book and say, oh, this is an awesome book. I'm so glad we're reading it. They can learn so much from it, and not be aware of what has happened to them in the past. And I would like to be sent something set up in place that we're all aware that there's a safety net just in case. Mm-hmm. Most people, you know, the majority of our parents are going to know the triggers for their student or their child. But there's some of us who won't, and it inadvertently may trigger some feelings that we
don't have a problem. Why don't we work on it? We'll bring it back at second reading.
Mm-hmm. Yep, those are all my pink slips.
I will move this item, the knowledge that that paragraph 3 is being replaced, and also they'll be revised to have the paragraph on how to deal with controversial issues.
I'll second that.
It's been moved by Jessica Shoemaker, seconded by Cammie Polis, to accept for first reading the board policies and board policies administrative regulations as presented. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. Just so members of the public know that we kept item 5 on the agenda just so that Diane could get here in time for us to adjourn the meeting at 7:35. But before I do that, I do want to remind board members that we do have a lot of back to school nights coming up, and a lot of fun to go to. It's a great time of the year. Before I do adjourn the meeting, I would like to take a moment to express some concerns from the information that we received this week, that we were informed that a previous administrator in the district, former principal of West Coast School, Dr. Elizabeth Quinn, and her husband passed away at their home in Pasadena, and I would like to adjourn this meeting in their memory. That I will adjourn the meeting at 7:35.